lung cancer.
When you have cancer, it can define who you are.
Prostate cancer.
With proton therapy, you can redefine your cancer. It has pinpoint accuracy to attack your cancer, not you. So you are exactly who you're supposed to be.
I am Barbara.
I'm Charles.
The Roberts Proton Therapy Center at Penn Medicine's Abramson Cancer Center. Schedule your visit at PennMedicine.org/proton. Another reason why your life is worth Penn Medicine.
So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while former Phillies field reporter Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Zack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning and happy Easter to everyone in this beautiful yet overcast Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley. Why is it beautiful? The Phillies are 2-0, baby.
Yeah,
let's keep it going here. Welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio and 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 if you're listening to us in the Trenton area, and WDAS AM around the rest of the city. You can also listen to us by downloading the iHeartRadio app, searching for Fox Sports The Gambler, and you can listen to us crystal clear anywhere worldwide. We are coming to you live from Sports and Social Philadelphia at the brand new Philly Live Casino down at the Sports Complex. Sports and Social is home to the region's first FanDuel Sportsbook, so come on down and play some bets for today's Major League Baseball action and have some fun with us while you get some drinks and some food, too, before the game. 105 start today. My name is Chris Sack, and this man next to me needs no introduction. My co-host and former Phillies broadcaster, Greg Murphy. Murph, how you doing?
I am doing great. Good morning, Sack. You know, the Phils are 2-0 since we launched this program. Since we've been partners, they haven't lost a game. That shouldn't be lost on anybody.
Listen, man, compared to all of your broadcast colleagues that you've had over the years, I have the best win percentage.
So absolutely.
Give me all the credit in the world on that one, Murph.
No doubt about it. Yeah, Phils have looked good. We're going to dive into that, talk about the first two games today, and talk about maybe possibly sweeping this series and getting the season off to the kind of start that they really needed to do. But first, a little business to take care of, because here on the program, on the Baseball Brunch, we're giving people. We're always out trying to help the folks that are listening to us. So how about this? We're going to give away two sets of tickets today, two sets of four on today's program, four tickets to Tuesday's game against the Mets at 7:05, and four tickets to Wednesday's game as well. We're going to ask two trivia questions throughout the course of the show. First person that gets the answer in is going to be the winner. You got to follow the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel or Green Legion on Facebook or Twitter to get your answers in. You ready for the first question?
Absolutely. You know what's great about this, though?
What's that?
Is Sean Henderson is not allowed to win again this week, and he is in Facebook jail.
so he couldn't win if he wanted
to. For at least another seven hours.
All right. Well, then that's good. So we will have a new winner this week for tickets. Let's give away four right off the bat, all right? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the trivia question, and we're going to ask you. It's a multi-part answer, and we'd like you to make sure that you put all three answers on the same text or Facebook post, okay? So here's the question. Shane Victorino forever put himself in Phillies lore with his 2008 Game 2 NLDS Grand Slam off of CC Sabathia. Who were the three runners on base when Victorino hit the Grand Slam? All three names in the same answer. First person with it will win four tickets to Tuesday night's game.
Another great thing about that is when we actually do reveal the trivia answer today, Jansen has the video queued up, so we're not going to sit here and have an unbelievable pregnant pause like we did last week when we announced the winner. Hey. So, Jansen, I appreciate you being prepared this week, buddy.
Thank you. I can do my job well sometimes, maybe.
So, Murph, let's dive into it, man. 2-0 start. The Phillies are looking solid. They're looking good. The offense really hasn't sparked yet, but it's okay because, as Charlie Manuel says, hitting season happens later on in the season as the weather tends to warm up. So right now, the most important thing for the Phillies to do is to stack W's. I mean, especially in this gauntlet of a division, they have to stack the wins now, especially now because of the Washington Nationals and their COVID outbreak. We're staring down the barrel of the gun with having to face Jacob DeGrom tomorrow in his first start of the season. But if we're going to talk about the home opener here, let's start out with that, and then we'll dive into the Zach Wheeler Show, which is what I like to call game two.
Yeah.
The home opener, how great was it to have fans back in the stands for the first time since September 2019? I mean, you were there last year, Murph. You were at being part of the broadcast team inside the ballpark. You're used to interacting with fans and being around the ballpark. Tell me from your perspective, how awesome it was to see the fans back in the stands, even though it was 8,800 after 500-something days in a row without having fans in the stands.
Yeah, you know, it was awesome. You couldn't help but, you know, feel a little nostalgic. I got chills when you heard Dan Baker's voice and you heard the crowd start
incredible.
To cheer. You know, another great thing that happened on opening day, Dan Baker back at the ballpark. But, you know, it made you kind of emotional because you remember just how difficult of a year this was for so many people. And I think I said it last week on the show, sports has a way of kind of bringing things back to normal.
Absolutely.
And we lean on sports to do that. Baseball's been a big part of that throughout our history. And certainly opening day this year was one of those moments. And you're right, only 8,800 here in Philadelphia. But that 8,800 brought it, and you could feel the energy. And I loved hearing what some of the guys were saying after the game. You know, each and every one, starting with Joe Girardi and right on through the players, each and every one of them saluted the fans and said, you know, thanks, because you give us that a little bit of extra energy, and it means something. And I think they understand that even more now. So it was great to see.
Yeah, I keep on saying myself that I know when I finally get back into Citizens Bank Park, and I've been to every opening day since 2007 outside the last 2 years, I keep on saying that I know how I'm going to feel the second I walk back in through those gates. It's going to be an emotional moment for me as a diehard sports fan, as a diehard Phillies fan my whole entire life, to walk back in and feel like I'm at home again.
Yeah.
And I love seeing the photos. The Phillies social media accounts, they were fantastic with promoting their fans and their interactions on Twitter and Facebook. And it was incredible to really feel their energy through the radio, through the television. It was just it was incredible to see, and it's going to be a fun season. And as long as we keep going along with things here and people doing the right things and being vaccinated and wearing their mask, we should see more fans at the ballpark as the season goes on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, the Phillies organization and the city of Philadelphia are working hand in hand to try and make sure that everybody does do the right thing so that during this season they can add in more and more fans as it goes along, because they're going to be looking, they're going to be watching, and they're going to look at the numbers, and they're going to make sure that they don't start to spike here in Philadelphia. But for the most part, when watching the game the other day and seeing the faces of the fans, virtually everyone was covered up, which is so important. And you know, the Phillies have done a good job with the social distancing, so you got to believe it's going to work. You got to, you know, everyone doing the right things for the right reasons. And hey, it's only going to benefit us as sports fans later on this season, because I can tell you, I want to see, you know, 30,000 there in September if that's possible. And you know, hopefully they're making a playoff run at the time, and that place will be rocking. So let's do the things right here in April and May, and then get to the point where we can, you know, all be together down there at the ballpark again.
Yeah, absolutely, Murph. And I kind of laugh about it too, because it was a cold day.
Yeah.
And the masks actually tend to benefit you.
Yeah.
When it's that cold outside. First things first, I want to dive into the performance of the staff ace, Aaron Nola. And I feel like people are being a little bit unfair with Nola, with how they're analyzing his performance on opening day. I've heard some topics on radio over the last few days. Is Nola an ace after his performance on opening day? I mean, I don't know what more you wanted out of Nola on that day. I mean, you're not going to get a complete game shutout from him on the first day of the season. He's only had two complete games in his career, and they're both seven-inning variety ones that he had last season because of the shortened games with the doubleheaders. So he's not a guy that's going to give you a full nine. Maybe this year he'll stretch out a little bit further, but tentatively in the first game of the season for a pitcher, you're not going to go all nine. It's just not, you know, you're not fully stretched out yet. Now, getting a few more weeks here, but 6 2/3, two earned runs, six hits, no walks. I mean, you know, he gave up on his last pitch, and I all these years later, Murph, it's almost 11 years, okay, this October, and I still can't stand the Kung Fu Panda, Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
This guy always finds a way to bite us in the rear end, and I can't stand him. But he left one over the plate. He didn't have to put one there, and he did.
Yep.
And Girardi did the right thing. He went out there, and he removed him from the game because at that point he didn't deserve to lose the game. If that were going to be the possible outcome. So why don't you break down a little bit what you saw Aaron Nola on. Maybe he got lucky with a couple pitches that he got away with because the wind was so strong and it was blowing in.
No doubt.
But what did you see out of Nola on Thursday?
Yeah, you know, I thought he pitched really well, and I think that, you know, if you want to knock Aaron Nola for not getting through a complete game on April 1st or whatever the date was, on a cold day in Citizens Bank Park, then you're not really understanding what it's all about in terms of baseball. You know, it is a rarity nowadays, certainly a rarity for a guy early in April to be going deep into game 7, 8, 9 innings. So what he was able to do, and I agree. So he got away with one where the wind kept it in. I think it was Swanson that hit one down the line that probably would have gone out on a different day.
The Braves got away with a couple of them too.
The Braves did too. Bryce had one that would have gone out on a normal day. But he really made one mistake. And you're right when you say that he did not have to throw the pitch. He's ahead of Sandoval at that point, 0-2. And, you know, he'll swing at the rosin bag if you throw it in the dirt. So, you know, you didn't have to come across the plate. And Aaron Nola knows that. He missed a spot. He left one up and, you know, give Pablo credit. He deposited deep into the right field seat. So
man, that was a shot.
It was a shot. And so, yeah, he made one mistake. I thought he pitched terrific. And if he pitches like that for the majority of his starts this season, the Phils are going to be in a real good spot because that's exactly what you need out of Aaron. And he will get stretched out. And when the weather gets warmer, the guy's from Louisiana, for God's sakes. He likes the hot and humid weather. That's what he thrives in. So as that gets a little bit warmer, you're going to see him going deeper into games. And, you know, I love Aaron Nola at the top of our rotation. And you can interchange Zach Wheeler right there, too. You know,
we're going to get to him.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. 1-2, 2-1. It doesn't matter. What you need are guys that go out and give you a chance to win. Aaron Nola almost always gives you a chance to win, and that's why I like him.
So, and the reason why that I didn't mind Girardi pulling him from the game. Now, if this was last year, I would have had some beef with Joe Girardi.
Well, not on opening day you wouldn't, because you wouldn't have known what was going to happen.
Gabe Kapler pulled him at 68 pitches
that
a couple
was a
years
problem.
Ago. That
yeah.
was an absolute problem. Yeah. But I, if we had last year's bullpen and Nola came out at that point, I would have most definitely had an issue with Joe Girardi making that move at that point. Pitch Nola till his arm falls off at that point
right.
with our bullpen. But the bullpen was strong. And I know we talked the extent last week with Alvarado. He had some control issues, of course. Just a little bit. But he is this year's version of Mitch Williams. He is a high wire act. The way that he's up there on the mound, loaded the bases, made it interesting in the eighth inning, but he got out of it with 101 mile per hour fastball to the outside part of the plate. But Archie Bradley came in. He four pitches and a walk, but then he got out of the inning. And then Neris looked good. And then I'll tell you what, I was very impressed by Connor Brogdon, because he got put into a bad situation. I want to get your take on this as well. He got put into a bad situation to start off the 10th because the rule is still in place where the runner starts the inning at second base. And for being a young kid, now in his first full Major League Baseball season, you can't count last year because it was only 60 games, but now in his first full Major League Baseball season, he came out there and he got us out of that inning and gave us a shot to win in the bottom of the 10th, and we did. Bullpen, 3 1/3, no earned runs, one hit, two walks, four Ks. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you thought out of the bullpen for opening day?
Yeah, you know, so Alvarado, what is special about Alvarado is that even with his control problems, and we're going to see that from time to time, he'll be dominant sometimes, but he's also going to get himself into trouble. But the ability to hit triple digits every once in a while, so, you know, I think it was a walk and then strikeout, and then it was a base hit, and then a strikeout, and then a hit by pitch, and then a strikeout. So, you know, that's okay if that's going to be, because that's going to keep the guys on the bases and not across the plate. He's got a special arm. And I think, hey, opening day, new city, I'm sure there were some jitters there as well. So I think you're going to see good things out of him. I agree with you. Brogdon, I think, is going to be someone to watch this year. I got a chance to talk to him a couple times last year, and he's a really neat kid. And he, you know, his first outing, his first pitch he threw, I think it was a 3-run home run he allowed. And then after that, he was shut down. He was really good. He went back to the minors for a little bit and came back to the big leagues, and at that point was really, really good for the Phils. I had no problem with Joe Girardi pulling Aaron Nola at that time. I thought it was the right time to get him out of that game. And the bullpen did what they needed to do. And, God, that sounds good to say, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
The bullpen did what they needed to do. I'm going to get a T-shirt that says that. And if they continue to do that, then this team's going to win ball games, and that's That's what's different this year than was a year ago.
5 1/3 scoreless innings to start out this season through the first two games for the Phillies bullpen. Staying on the home opener here, huge plays by I forgot to put on the run sheet here the one by Alec Bohm.
Yeah,
man, the jumping grab that he had.
That one caught him, I think, but that's fine.
Hey, man, you still have to get the bunnies to go up there, and I know he's a tall kid.
Here's what I'd like to say this to all the folks that said you can't play third base and be that tall. You just can't do it. Well, guess what? It helped. Every inch he had, we needed on opening day, so that was good stuff.
That was a great play. Didi Gregorius with an absolute web gem to end the ninth there, the ninth inning for Hector Neris. And nobody was on base or anything. We weren't in danger or whatnot, but I love to see that kind of effort. Just to, you know, lay it out there for your teammates. Let's get it to the bottom of the ninth and have an opportunity to win. Phenomenal job by Didi. And then in the 10th inning, like we said, Connor Brogdon got us out of that inning, but he had a little bit of help.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing that actually, I don't know if Haseley makes that throw on a dime. Quinn's got a pretty strong arm. And Quinn got that in shallow center field, and he threw one right on the dime. Perfect bounce right there to JT.
It had to be.
I know a lot of people were worried about blocking the plate, but, man, like, the ball took him right there, and he gave nothing to Albies at all, and that's why he's the best catcher in baseball.
You're right about that. He has a real good sense on how to, you know, that new rule, which is awful, by the way. I guess it's not new anymore, but, you know, the ability, not being able to block the plate. I hate that rule. It's one of the worst rules in baseball. But yeah,
thank you, Buster Posey.
Yeah, but JT really does have a pretty good feel on how to, you know, massage that rule. And if the ball takes you into the base path, then you are allowed to go there. And that was a perfect example. And, man, oh, man, Albies got lit up at home plate, which again, is why I hate that rule, because that's a great play at home plate. Yeah, kudos to Quinn for getting that throw right on the money. It had to be perfect, and it was. Yeah, I mean, look, winning opening day is always great. It's always a lot of fun. But I thought the way the Phillies won was even, it tells us a little bit more. And I know it's only one game, but the way they go about and win that game, that's the kind of baseball games that they lose last year.
Right.
And they've won two of them so far this year. That's good to see.
Absolutely. And then I'm looking at thoughts on Major League Baseball keeping the extra inning rule with starting a man at second base. What's your thought on that? I'm not a fan of it. I understand why, you know, some people want to still have that rule. You know, it tends to shorten the games up a little bit more. Obviously, you're not going to have the marathon games anymore that we're used to. I was at the Wilson Valdez game. I was at a game that went to 2:30 in the morning at one point. I love that type of stuff, but I'm a baseball purist, as are you. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on keeping that rule in place?
I'm with you. I don't love it. I understand why they're doing it. It does add some excitement. I'll say that, which the game can use from time to time. I'll even admit that. Here's what if they're going to do that rule, I'd like to see them play one straight up extra inning where they don't put a runner at second base. And then if the 10th inning happens and we're still tied in the 11th, you want to add the second on second base and fine. But other than that, you know, I agree with you. I've been involved in a lot of extra inning games over the last 10 years as a part of the broadcast team. And, you know, while they're happening, you're thinking to yourself, ugh, you know, and now we got to fly out to Chicago after this, you know. but when you think back on a season and you think back to those games, they're the ones that you remember, too. So I think they're a lot of fun. I get it. I get why they're doing it. But, hey, look, if the Phils keep winning them, fine.
Right.
we'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Now, we have a couple minutes left in the segment, and let's just touch on the only real thing that we need to touch on from the second game of the season yesterday.
Two words.
Zach Wheeler.
There you go.
Unbelievable. 7 innings pitched, 1 hit, no walks, 10 strikeouts, 2 hits, 2 ribbies, a double, a single. I mean, the guy just did it all. I called it on Facebook and Twitter yesterday, welcome to the Zach Wheeler Show.
Yeah.
Go ahead and touch on it. I think I've said everything that I need to say about Zach Wheeler.
Well, the Zach Wheeler Show, sign me up for tickets, because I watch that day in and day out. He is exactly what, you know, he's been billed as. He's the guy that the Phils went out and got, a guy that's learning how to use his stuff. He's always had great stuff. He's learning how to use it, and, you know, you can see the maturation of Zach Wheeler over the course of the last couple of seasons, from his last season with the Mets to last year's shortened season with the Phils, and now his first start here. Again, he is as advertised. When he goes out and does that kind of and take the hits away, I mean, that's just a bonus.
That's a bonus.
And he loves
sure.
the hit. And yeah. he makes no
Who
bones
needs
about
DH,
it.
Right?
Right. But take that away. Just what he was able to do on the mound. Look, and you have to remember, and I'm sure Phillies fans are thinking about this. This Braves lineup is good. It's not okay.
This is really good.
Yeah. National League lineup. And the two guys, Nola and Wheeler, have done a really good job against this lineup so far. And again, you're going to see these guys 19 times this year, and there's going to be games where the Braves are going to get to our pitchers, no doubt. And that's going to happen. That's baseball. But, man, for one day, a Saturday afternoon, a beautiful Saturday afternoon at Citizens Bank, Zach Wheeler was dominant over a really good Braves lineup. Give me more of that.
Yeah, electric stuff. Yeah. I think he hit 98, 99 in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love seeing those numbers out of the starter for sure.
It's so great.
All right, so we're going to hit our first break here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to announce the winner for the first trivia question. We're going to jump into trivia question number two and give out four more tickets for a Phillies-Mets game this upcoming week for the series against the Mets. And we also are jumping into an Ask Murph segment when the interviewer is actually interviewed.
Uh-oh.
Stay tuned with us. We'll be right back right after this.
When the tents go up, so does the stimulus. Only Gary Barbera gives you
double stimulus. Double stimulus.
At 105, the Philadelphia Phillies go for the sweep of the rival Atlanta Braves. And we have a couple Braves fans sitting down here in front of us. Oh, man, we're going to have to give them a mock chop over here at some point as well. Sorry to waste your guys' time again today. So,
that is a good lineup. It is. So, well, it hasn't looked that good, but it is a good lineup.
He said he's offended that we called his lineup good. So, first of all, let's start out with some business here before we jump into Ask Murph.
We've got a winner, huh?
We have a winner for our first trivia question. Who were the three runners on base for Shane Victorino's Grand Slam in the 2008 NLDS off CC Sabathia? Pedro Feliz, Brett Myers, and Jimmy Rollins were all the base runners. Mike, I will be sending you over. I have your email address. I will send you your four tickets for Tuesday's game, 7:05. It is McDonald's opening night, which they'll be handing out free t-shirts that night. Enjoy the game and enjoy the tickets. And we have four more tickets to give away for Wednesday's game, 4:05, also against the New York Mets. It is for it's a mystery bobblehead. So Murph is going to do the trivia question number two.
Mystery bobblehead. What? No better giveaway than that. Congratulations, Mike, for winning those tickets.
Not Pete Rose.
I doubt it.
they're still laying around from a couple years ago.
I think they've been destroyed at this point. But all right, how about trivia question number two? Jim Thome hit his 400th career home run as a Philly on June 14th, 2004. Two-run shot to tie the game 2-2 in the bottom of the first. What team did he do it against? And, two-part answer, who was on base? All right? So, again, put the answers on one post and get your answers in. Four tickets to Wednesday's game against the Mets coming your way. If you're the first one with the answer, we'll tell you at the end of this segment who the winner is on that. I remember that. I don't know if I would have gotten who was on base, but I definitely would have
gotten. I was at that game.
Okay.
I remember. I was there until 2:30 in the morning. Billy Wagner came out. There was two rain delays that night.
Okay.
And Billy Wagner came out to warm up for the top of the ninth. And then the rain started again. And then I'm a senior in high school at the time. And me and my best friend are at the game. And we had final exams the next day. So you knew we weren't leaving. So final exams weren't all that important for us. Hey, guys, listen, let's have a little bit of fun right now. Like I said, as I teased when we were going into break, Murph is the one that's normally the one interviewing others. I thought it would be fun if we did an Ask Murph segment instead of Murph asking the questions for a change. Give you guys a little bit of tidbits on, some information on Murph. Maybe you've been wondering all the years that he was a broadcaster for the Phillies, a field reporter. Murph, I want to start out here. So I have eight questions, and then I have I have eight rapid fire questions for you. This or that.
All right.
Okay. But this or that ones are some fun. So we'll do those at the end.
Okay.
Number one. Good. This is a two parter. I want to know what your favorite ballpark you've been to and your least favorite.
So my favorite ballpark, I get asked that question a lot, and it really makes you stop and think. I've been to every ballpark except the new one down there in Texas now. I haven't been to that one yet. But my favorite ballpark generally to go to, I always tie it into the city, so San Francisco. Gorgeous ballpark. always packed. Great fans in San Francisco. Generally pretty good weather, although it can get a little chilly there from time to time. But I love the city of San Francisco as well. So I would say San Francisco is near the top of my list. You know, you can't go wrong with Wrigley. You can't go wrong with Fenway. Worst ballpark, no, I'm just kidding. It's not Atlanta. Just kidding. Actually, I will say my least favorite ballpark is in the NL East, though, and it is Nats Park. Not a fan of Nats Park.
It's a spaceship with a parking garage attached to it.
Yeah. Here's my problem with Nats Park. They could have done so much. I love the city of Washington. I love Washington, D.C. And they could have done so much with that ballpark. You walk into Citizens Bank Park, blindfolded, someone takes it off, you know you're in Philadelphia. You know, the same can be said with so many ballparks across the country. You walk into Nats Park, you get dropped in there by a helicopter, you have no idea where you are. You still don't know where you are. You have no idea. It's very antiseptic. The media facilities are terrible there. It's not a great place to watch the game.
Oh, so. Man, the broadcast box is all the way up there. It's a mile away from the field.
Larry Anderson had the best line of all time. He said it's the only ballpark in America where they do a fly under on opening day. You know, so, I mean, you're so high up. It is. I've done a game. I've called the game from the press box in Washington, and it's you need binoculars just to see the guys down on the field. So that's my least favorite.
Yeah, you got to take the stairways to heaven to get up there.
Exactly. And I love D.C. I love going down there, but I'm not a fan of the ballpark.
I'm actually surprised by that. So you're a fan of Oakland Coliseum? Because that's a dump.
Well, yeah. So I've only been to Oakland for one series. You know, we don't go there very often. So it's not a great place. What I do remember about Oakland for me doing my job, I had lots of room to roam. And I could do all kinds of kind of cool things. It's not, the facilities aren't great. It's beat up. And but, you know, D.C. should have done a better job with their park.
I agree.
It angers me.
I've always said that myself.
All right.
So jumping on to question number two, and again, this is a two-parter. Best player to interview, as in most accessible, and the one for the best soundbite, worst player to interview.
All right. So there are so many guys that I could choose from for both sides, quite frankly. But so one guy, and this is going to make our Atlanta fans happy, and I already had this written down, so I'm not even doing it for their benefit. But one of my favorite guys to interview ever is now a broadcaster for the Atlanta Braves, Jeff Francoeur. He is, and not only is he a friend, but he was so accessible, and he always gave you thoughtful answers. And it's no surprise that he's now doing broadcasting for the Braves, because he's really good. You know, he gets it. And so Jeff Francoeur is near the top of my list in terms of favorite people to talk to interview. Tougher to get, but when you got him, he was awesome. Jimmy Rollins. Jimmy did not love to do the day-to-day, you know, let's sit down and have a chat kind of stuff. But if I went to Jimmy and said, look, I need you next Tuesday, all right, at 4 o'clock, and he would say yes.
Was he there on time?
Oh, yeah.
I never knew he was there at 4 o'clock. I thought he was a Jay Stroll into the ballpark 5:30 type of guy.
No, he was there by 4. You can bet on that. But the thing about Jimmy is when you got him, what you got back was gold. All the time. He's such a thoughtful guy. He reminds me a lot of Bryce Harper in that regard, in that, you know, they answer the questions that you ask. They don't already have an answer prepared. They listen to your question and then they answer it.
Right.
And so Jimmy to me was great. There's so many guys that I've loved to interview over the course of the years. Andrew McCutchen, a guy on this year's team.
Uncle Larry.
It's so much fun. So much fun. So, all right, least favorite. Everybody out there probably is expecting me to say Jonathan Papelbon.
I would have been surprised if you didn't.
Well, I'm not going to say Papelbon, because despite the awkward moments that Jonathan and I had on the air together, we also had like a come to Jesus moment after those moments, and where we kind of got each other after that, and then our relationship kind of got better from there, and our interviews got better. So I got to give Jonathan a pass. There's two guys, and one was way before I was a Phillies broadcaster, but I interviewed Barry Bonds way back in the day, and I got not only he was tough to interview, he was tough to pin down first and foremost. When I finally did get him, he gave me one word answers, and he was gruff, and
am I not surprised by that?
Yeah, and the other guy is he was a Philly for a short period of time, AJ Burnett. He was tough. He did not really care for
your role?
Us.
Broadcasters?
Yeah. I think that's a fair statement. So A.J. Burnett was one of the guys that I did not particularly enjoy being around.
You know what ticked me off about A.J. Burnett is the fact that they allowed him to wear 34.
Yeah,
like I know Doc was still alive, but I'm sorry, you can't hand that out so quickly.
Well,
and he did,
and they normally don't. They normally hold jerseys like that for a time, but
yeah, they freeze them.
Yeah. All right, so there you go.
And then Frank Gore, I was not a fan of Frank Gore when he was a Brave. I was not a fan of Frank Gore when he signed here. I'll tell you what, though. He won me over, and he hit. I remember we were in Chicago at our hotel. Me and my dad, we did Wrigley every year, and we were there in 2015. And the Phillies wound up sweeping the Cubs that weekend, and Frank Gore hit the big home run in extra innings that won them the first game of that series before Cole Hamels threw the no-hitter next
game. Right. Yep.
Jumping into the next question here. Outside of your job as a field reporter for the Phillies from 2012 to 2020, what was your favorite job that you ever had?
Favorite job? So this is kind of a loaded question because I've been so lucky in my career.
I know that. But so, it's got to be something that you can pinpoint for me.
Yeah, so, gosh, working obviously as a sports anchor at Comcast Sportsnet was a blast with the folks that I got to work with. My mentor, Neil Hartman, and Derek Gunn and Amy Fadul. So that part of my life, the 5 or 6 years that I was doing that was awesome. My time hosting Out of Bounds over at CNA was incredible too. So I've been lucky, but I will tell you this: my first real fun on-air job was the host of the Inquirer High School Sports Show here in Philadelphia, and I would basically week from week I would go around to different high schools and I would anchor the show. I would host the show from like the gymnasium with 2,000 high school kids screaming in the background. There's an energy there. I was a young guy at the time. I was 26, 27 years old. And and if I screwed up, we had to do it again. The kids would boo you. And it was so much fun. And covering high school sports is a blast. As sportscasters, you pay your dues, you work your way up, you do that kind of stuff. And I remember loving every minute of that and hosting that show. It was a great show, great people on it. So the Inquirer High School Sports Show on Fox back in the day, I'll say.
All right, so let's jump out of your field for a question here, okay? What is your favorite movie trilogy? I know the favorite movie is asked a lot.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go... Yeah. Off the cuff a little bit here. Movie trilogy.
It's again, cool question because, we get asked favorite movie all the time. Favorite movie trilogy, I was having a hard time coming up with an answer for this. So I thought, okay, Godfather, 1 and 2, awesome. 3, terrible. So I can't put that on the list. The Vacation series, 1 and 3, awesome. 2, not so great, European Vacation. So I threw that away. I'm not much of a fantasy. I'm not a Star Wars guy or a Star Trek.
Lord of the Rings.
Not so much. So I went with the Indiana Jones series.
Even though they came out with the 4th one.
I know, but I stopped at 3.
Right, you stopped. Yeah, nobody wants to see Shia LaBeouf, right?
Right.
Shia LaBeouf or whatever the heck
I don't know.
His name is.
I don't know.
I just know he went off the rails.
Yeah, he went LaBeouf. But so I'm going to go the Indiana Jones numbers 1, 2 and 3 and I'm stopping there. That's my favorite.
Back to the Future fan?
The first one.
Just the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Murph.
Yeah?
I
don't even know if I saw the other one.
I thought I knew.
What, did they go Back to the Future again?
in the second one, they went to 2015 and then back to an alternate 1985 when Biff stole the sports almanac.
Oh.
And then they had to go back to 1955 and then the car got struck by lightning, so then Doc wound up in 1885. And that's the third one. They're in the Old West in the third one.
Didn't even know those existed.
I'm going to let you borrow the DVDs.
All right.
Can
I borrow a DVD player, too, because I got one of those?
It was on Netflix there for a time, but all right. So if you weren't working in sports media, what job could you see yourself doing?
I went to college to be an attorney, a lawyer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to St. Joe's, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I majored in English because... That's what you do if you don't. You're not good at anything else. So I majored in English, and I was going to be an attorney. I was going to be like the guy in the courtroom that was like, I demand, that kind of thing. But I got kind of waylaid by broadcasting the St. Joe's games, and fell in love with this career, and was able to follow that. So I guess I would say an attorney. I'm glad I'm not an attorney.
Interesting enough,
but or maybe sales. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
An attorney. Attorney at law.
Yeah.
Okay.
Esquire.
All right, so let's jump into the next one, because you would probably have to be this man's attorney. What was it like to deal with Gabe Kapler?
You know, what people don't understand about Gabe, and we were around Gabe every single day and for hours at a time because he allowed us a lot of access. Gabe is a terrific guy. Did he fit Philadelphia? Not really. He really didn't. And you know, I got to know Gabe really well, and there were moments where I wanted to grab him by the shoulders and shake him and say, Gabe, that won't work here. You can't do that here. You know, and I don't know that he ever completely understood that part of it. You know, a lot of the issues that he had, he kind of caused himself. But dealing with Gabe Kapler, which is the question, was outstanding. He gave us tons of access. He was always up front. He always told us what he was thinking before and after. And he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Wasn't a good fit in Philly. I think they did the right thing in moving on. I wish him the best in San Fran. But dealing with them was great.
Okay. Now, we have less than 3 minutes, so we're going to have to kind of rapid fire through the rest of this here. 4-for-4 guy, favorite player for each team growing up.
All right. So, Charles Barkley was my Sixers guy growing up, obviously. Pelly Lindbergh and Tim Kerr, the two guys on the Flyers that I always kind of gravitated to. I don't know why. Wasn't a huge Flyers fan when I was younger, but those were the two guys. Football, Eagles, it was easy. Ron Jaworski was my guy.
Jaws.
He was my guy. And I've gotten to know him over the years, and he's a great person as well. So Jaws was always my guy. And Greg Luzinski. It's well documented.
The
Greg
Bull.
Luzinski was my favorite player growing up. And then he proceeded to cut me from the high school baseball team. So, but nonetheless, still one of my favorite people.
All right, last question before we do our rapid fire, this or that. Being that we are in a pandemic, what is your ideal vacation? Where would you go? What would you do?
So this is an impossible question for me to answer because my favorite television show is The Amazing Race. It's like my dream to be on The Amazing. If you're listening, it's my dream to be on The Amazing Race. And my daughter and I have talked about trying to get on that show forever. I want to travel everywhere. I love to travel. There's not a country on the planet that I wouldn't want to visit. And so I've been to South America. I've been to Europe. I've done some cool things. When I go and travel, I want to eat. I want to drink. And I want to do like some cool stuff, like Amazing Race stuff. You know, I want to jump off of I would jump off a building if I knew I was going to.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I don't know. The next place I'm going to go is Spain. Once we're allowed to travel again, that's next on my list.
Right.
So I'll say Barcelona, Madrid. I want to go to Spain, go to the coast, that kind of thing.
Sounds great.
All right.
Rapid fire.
Yep.
This or that. Superman or Batman?
Superman.
NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Backstreet Boys, I guess.
I sang I Want It That Way to my wife at our wedding.
Is that a Backstreet Boys song?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she didn't want to do the garter or you know any of that traditional stuff. So I told her, I was like, I'm going to sing to you.
All right. There you
Coke
go.
Or Pepsi?
Coke.
Toilet paper over or under?
Over, and there's a special place in hell for people to put it under. That's all I got to say
well,
about that.
I knew I was already going to hell, so I'm still going there. Bacon or sausage?
Like them both. Bacon.
Cake or pie?
Neither. Can I say neither?
Neither.
I'm not a sweets guy. I definitely don't like pie, so I would say cake, but I don't eat cake either.
Okay. Drums or flats? For chicken wings?
Yeah. Drums.
And the last one, because this is Philadelphia, cheesesteaks, with or without?
With and wit, I should say. And
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, definitely.
For our Braves fans.
In fact,
over here.
I had a cheesesteak last night with fried onions on it, and it was outstanding. I won't plug the place.
Okay, all right. I was about to ask you. Yeah, they're not a sponsor.
Not yet.
Okay, how much time do we have here, Slash? Should I go to break? Okay, coming back after break, we're going to announce the winner for the second set of tickets for the Phillies-Mets game on Wednesday. Also, we're going to play the clips because we forgot to play the clips for both of them. So we'll make sure we get those in at the top of the next segment, which is our last one. And we're going to give you three betting lines that we both like for baseball today, just for Sunday. So please continue to follow us here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler or iHeartRadio app. You can listen to us anywhere worldwide. We'll be right back right after this.
Introducing the most highly anticipated handheld device to date. Superior design with interactive smart display.
at Philly Live Casino. Again, we are steps away from Citizens Bank Park as the Phillies break out the brooms this afternoon on these Atlanta Braves fans that are sitting by us. Make sure you guys are going to need to drink a lot today, so make sure you guys grab some Bud Light beer towers over here from the bar. You guys are going to sure as hell need it after you deal with our lineup and Zach Eflin. But, hey, let's go ahead here and let's announce the second trivia question winner. Dan Hartman, congratulations. You've won four tickets to the Phillies-Mets game on Wednesday at 4:05. Again, it's mystery bobblehead game. The trivia question was, Murph?
Yeah, Jim Thome hit his 400th career home run as a Philly, and we wanted to know who was it against and who was on base. And for that answer, well, let's go to the tape.
Could it be? Could it be? It is out of here! Number 400 for Jim Thome. Phillies have tied the game of the first and take a bow, big man.
Dude, I could listen to him all day. Again, I know like, if we're going to do this every single week, it's just going to drive me crazy. But hey, the answer was?
The answer was, because Harry didn't tell us, but that's okay. Harry,
it's all good.
Harry did everything else perfectly perfectly right. Cincinnati Reds and on base, Jimmy Rollins.
Jimmy Rollins.
Number 11.
Jimmy Rollins.
And one of the great Harry Callis calls of all time, for sure.
Fun fact about that. Ken Griffey Jr. was sitting on 499 career home runs, but the Reds sat him because they wanted him to hit the 500th in Cincinnati. He was also sitting on 599 for a three-game series in Philadelphia in 2008, and the Reds tried doing the same thing, but he wound up hitting it in Miami instead.
Yeah, I hate when teams do that. Aside, I hate when teams, you know, sit a guy so that he does a certain thing in a certain place. Just let it happen.
Look at Michael Jack.
Yeah.
Michael Jack, it's one of the greatest moments in Phillies history, and he did it at Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh, and it won them the game.
Yeah.
That was a huge hit.
It was a big moment.
Huge hit.
All right.
So let's jump into here. Again, this is our last segment here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Right now, since we are at the FanDuel Sportsbook, which is the first regional FanDuel Sportsbook here in the Philadelphia area.
And by the way, this place is awesome.
Amazing.
If you haven't been down here yet, when I walked in here last week for the first time, I was blown away. It's a gorgeous casino. Great where we are set up right now.
Right in front of all the television.
All the television. It's just a beautiful spot, and the folks are here ready to bring you your food and your drink, and you get your gamble on before you get down to the game, so you should stop in.
And you want to be down here with us next weekend for sure, because it's Sunday for Masters, Major League Baseball action. It's going to be the night after night one of WrestleMania, heading to night two of WrestleMania for you wrestling fans out there.
Wait, what?
Macho Man, Murph. Macho
okay,
Man.
Okay.
All right, so let's go over our three betting lines on the Sunday's Major League Baseball ticket. Can be money line, run line, over under, run totals, whatever we want to do. Yep. I'll start out with my first one. I feel that the Oakland A's are going to avoid the sweep against the Houston Astros today. Get your ticket in on the Oakland Athletics at -108. Murph, what's your first one?
All right, so much like you, I'm looking at the schedule and I'm thinking, all right, teams that have won the first two of the series. Now, this does not count for the Philadelphia Phillies. This is completely – that logic does not apply here in Philadelphia. But
absolutely.
It's hard to come out of the gate and win three straight against any team. The Tigers have won two against the Indians in their first two games. So I'm going to take the Indians on the money line, and the Tigers will suffer their first loss of the season. I think that's a lock.
The Indians, the soon-to-be Cleveland baseball team.
Well, that's true.
So my second one right here is the Los Angeles Dodgers. They lost the opening game in Colorado. They've won the last two. They're going to go 3-1. The Rockies are dreadful, awful, pathetic. They're a terrible baseball team. They're paying $51 million to a third baseman that's no longer on their roster. Get the Dodgers in. I know it's a big line at -196, but hell, if you parlay it with something else, go for it. Murph, what's your second one?
All right, so the second one, Yanks and Blue Jays up there in the Bronx, and they both won a game early in the season. They're 1-1 each. I like the over in this game. Nice weather on the East Coast. I think the baseballs are going to be flying in New York today. So 9.5 is the over. I say take the over. That Blue Jays lineup and that Yankees lineup combined, they're going to get more than 9.5.
New Yankee Stadium is a complete jet stream as well. My third one here, I'm taking two awful teams, one of which I picked last week as my dark horse in the American League, and they're making me look like a horse's you-know-what. So, Orioles and Red Sox, I'm also going to go with an over here. Over-under is 10 runs scored. I think there's going to be a plethora of runs today up there at Fenway Park. The Red Sox offense has not gotten off the runway yet. So, over 10 runs up there at Fenway Park. And, again, I will be tabulating this throughout the season so you guys know who you want to follow to bet.
That's right.
With I'm going to probably say it's more likely Murph. I've been terrible over the years, but or you could be Jansen and actually betting the Braves today. So Murph, go with your third one.
Wow, Jansen.
Yeah,
how about that? All right,
what a terrible programmer.
All right. Third one: Angels White Sox tonight. 8:37 p.m. Eastern time. So an afternoon game out there in Anaheim. But White Sox Angels. I like the Angels on the money line over the Sox today. Again, the White Sox are probably a better team than the Angels. However, I like Ohtani on the mound today, and I think he's going to go out and look good in the spring. I think he'll be in good shape, and the Angels will beat the White Sox. So
Take them. So, sounds great. Those are our six picks total for the week. So, you guys can place money on them. If you want to give us a few weeks to find out who's actually being successful, go for it. But outside of that, man, make sure you guys download your FanDuel Sportsbook app or come on down here and place your bets with us. Now we're going to jump into Can You Believe It? Eventually, we're going to have a sounder for this, and it's going to be a Harry Callis dedicated segment. Can you believe it? Two things that we both found interesting through the first 3 days of Major League Baseball season. Obviously, throughout the course of the season, we're going to have more to go off of during the course of a Major League Baseball week before our show. So, Murph, why don't you start off with your first one?
Yeah, you know, the old saying is, whenever you go to the ballpark, you never know what you're going to see, and that is so true.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, how about this in the first weekend? Erman Mercedes of the Chicago White Sox, he's a rookie. He's had one Major League at-bat coming into the season. He was 0-for-1. He started the season off on opening day. He went 5-for-5. He followed up the next day 3-for-3. He is in the record books, 8 straight hits, 8-for-8 to start the season for the rookie.
First time since 1900.
How about that?
First time since 1900.
Yeah, so pretty good start for the young man. So that's my first one.
And keep in mind as well, his first 8 bats this season, he had as many hits as the Atlanta Braves have had in the first 2 games for a whole roster, the whole lineup.
Da-da-tsh.
All right, so I'm going to go with Miguel Cabrera.
Okay.
Hit his first home run on opening day since 2008. He did it against Shane Bieber in the snow.
It was a cool visual.
Absolutely. He didn't even know it went out.
Yeah.
So Miguel Cabrera, and the fun part about this is, first one since 2008, it is an ironclad lock. The Phillies are winning the World Series now this year. Make sure you guys get over to the sports book and put that down in the futures.
Yeah, I already did that. All right, for me, how about this? This was like something you hardly ever see anymore. You used to see it a lot more in baseball. You don't hardly see it anymore, but the St. Louis Cardinals and the Cincinnati Reds got together, and they got together. A bench-clearing brawl, game 2 of the season.
You bet you they did.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Nick Castellanos gets knocked down, and the bench is clear, and it was
Molina was ticked off.
Yeah, it was a good one. They did not like the way Castellanos stared at a home run on opening day, so that's why he got thrown at. And
then he flexed on the pitcher when he slid into him at the plate.
But here's what I love. You talk about setting up some bad blood for the rest of the season. We're in the first 3 days of the season. This team's already had some bench clears. They're going to see each other 16 more times this year. Bring it on.
I need bad blood in sports. You know, it's too much bromancing going on these days in sports, man.
I agree.
Bring back the hatred. That's what I live for. Cody Bellinger, he hit a home run on opening day, but it turned out to be a single because he was in his home run trot. And Justin Turner thought that it was caught instead of hitting off the glove. So then he came back over. He was running back towards first base. And Bellinger ran past him.
Yeah.
So
you could see how that happened. Because it was in and out of the glove of the fielder. And it bounced over the wall out of the glove. But, not an ideal way to start up. You know, what if he gets to, 61 home runs or 60 home runs.
Right,
I don't count Bonds. So 60 home runs.
I don't count Bonds. Yeah. I always say the most legit home run record since Roger Maris For me, is Ryan Howard when he hit 58.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can say Stanton, too. What did Stanton hit, 60 the one year?
Did he get to 60?
I think it was like 2015. He was up there. I think he wound up hitting more than Howard did.
But yeah.
In his MVP season. But
can you imagine for Bellinger, you know, if he had that one more, you know? What if he finishes his career at 399 or something?
He's a strange bird, too, so.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so that's Can You Believe It? So we got a couple minutes here left, and let's take a look at the week ahead for the Phillies. We have today's finale versus the Braves. Same lineup as it's been, except, you know, obviously they're giving Real Muto the day off, and as Gabe Kapler would say, Nappy is in the lineup. He's batting seventh today. Everything else the same. You know, pretty much everybody moves up. Bohm moves up. Gregorius, Segura, they all move up. Zach Eflin's on the mound. And then, as we stated, we're going to have three more games against the Mets this week, which we gave tickets away to all of them. We're going to get Jacob DeGrom right out of the gates on Monday, and then we follow up with next weekend. The Atlanta Braves are going to look for some revenge in Atlanta.
Yeah, they certainly are, and you know, Atlanta's it's a tough place to play. The Phils have played, you know, okay down there over the last couple of years, but you know, the Mets series is interesting because of the fact that they have not gotten a chance to play yet. The pitching matchups do not favor the Phils heading into the
New York Matt Moore series. Versus Jacob DeGrom.
And that's fine. You know, generally it would have worked its way out, and Aaron Nola and DeGrom would have pitched against one another. But, you know, there's different ways to look at that, too. You know, Aaron Nola now gets to face their number three starter when the time comes. So, but it'll be a tough series. We've talked about it. In April, playing the NL East, it's a gauntlet, and the Phillies are going to have to work their way through. They're off to a good start. I don't know about you. I do know about you. You're very excited to see Zach Eflin get out there today and get his first start of the season. To me, Zach Eflin is a critical person on this team.
If 100%.
If he pitches to the level that we think he can, and I really think he's taken a step forward from a year ago, 2 years ago. If he's good, this team is going to be good. So excited to see Eflin against this tough Braves lineup today. Should be a lot of fun. But then, bring on the Mets.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thank you all again for tuning in to Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler on the iHeartRadio app, 104.1 up in the Trenton area, and WDAS AM in the rest of the city. Please, you have no excuse not to come out and see us next week. We'll be back down here again at the Sports and Social at the Philly Live Casino. No excuses next week, because next week's not Easter, so please come on down here and see us. Get an autograph or a photo from Murph and just say hello to me. I'm not anybody else, really, outside of that. So come on down here and hang out with us. We'd love to see you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Happy Easter, everybody.
How do you protect yourself from the new forms of the coronavirus? Here you go. Got a mask that fits good and snug? Perfect. Now.
Streaming only on Peacock.
John Wayne Gacy is suspected of having killed as many as 32.
Straight from the killer's mouth.
They want you to believe that I alone committed these murders.
The new gripping six-part documentary series that investigates the crimes that shocked the nation.
The thing everybody thought they knew wasn't the whole story.
John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise. All episodes streaming now. Only on Peacock.